Hey guys, Pastor Jeremiah. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. Tonight, we are having a panel discussion on level up, knowing your season and thriving. Listen and be blessed. Amen. Guys, I'm really excited to be able to kind of moderate, ask some of the questions we have. We're going to get into that. We have already some great questions out there, but before we dive into the questions, I would like to just ask each couple, what was the first thing you loved about your partner?
Ooh, that's a... Do I start? I don't know why I'm still holding the microphone, but I think the first thing I love is just her love for God. And that's kind of the main thing and the foundation is built on. So that's the first thing I loved.
He stole my answer. That was exactly what I loved as well, is that he didn't just say he was a Christian, that he had depth to him. He had a relationship with Jesus. And in the dating world, there were quite a few people that would say that they're Christian, but when you'd ask certain questions, you could tell that there was no depth there. So it was the depth of his faith.
Thank you.
Yeah, they went, nice answer. I would have to say it was your humor. It was really your humor and your look in life, and you were just easy to talk to.
Mine was her competitiveness. I think the first time that I saw her, she was playing ping pong with her uncle, and he was half crippled, but she didn't care. She was winning, and I definitely liked her competitiveness, and I liked how she communicated, and so yeah, those two things.
I'll keep it real too. I thought he was really cute.
Aww.
But that wasn't what really attracted me to him. I will say he was, we met at another church where he came back to the Lord after a long time not serving him. And I watched that process play out and was really impressed by how quickly he like just grabbed back onto God and went full hearted into even becoming a minister.
Yeah, keeping it real, I would say having come right back to the Lord out of the world, Heidi wasn't like the girls of the world, and there was something different, how she was living, how she was seeking the Lord. It was just different, and I noticed that as well, and that's attractive when you're coming out of the world. You know, we're supposed to be different, and so I appreciated that.
Nice. All right. So I just wanted everyone to hear that because I think it's so important to just know that it's not always going to be a spiritual answer. You're going to get different ways you're going to come across people. And you don't have to wonder if like, oh, I didn't see them love Jesus in this way. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's the first thing. But everyone's story is so different and so beautiful. So I really appreciate you guys sharing that. We're going to dive into our first question of the night, and it's, what do you do if you feel more spiritually mature than the person you're interested in? These are great first questions.
Well, first of all, the scripture says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall.
Ooh.
Nobody is ever as spiritually mature as they think they are. And the person that you are interested in might not be as spiritually immature as you think they are. And so love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And if you're really uncertain, approach, my wife always says, with curiosity. And actually just instead start with establishing a friendship. And actually through friendship, you know, iron sharpens iron. And if you are, you know, friends with somebody and you're interacting, you'll start to get a gauge as to where they are at. and, you know, impart life into the person.
Thank you.
I'll just add a little bit. I think, too, it's always tempting to think that you might be the one to make them more spiritually mature, and while you're exploring a friendship, you're not the savior. You're not the changer. You're not the person that has to make that happen. You can approach with curiosity and get to know them, but also I would just say, lean on Jesus for any change. That's not your job.
Mm-hmm. I can't even add anything to that. So good.
Kim's got something.
All right, so I'm going to do the they had the nice answer kind of stuff. For me personally, it was important to me to find a husband who was strong and could be a spiritual leader. So maybe I was the one that was a little bit less spiritually mature. I can't say that I was. But if I were dating somebody, and I'm saying this, and it's probably not going to be popular opinion, but as a female, I wanted my husband to be the spiritual leader of our home and to be strong enough to do that. And that was extremely important to me. And so, yes, I did have, you know, some dates or dating relationships that I went on that it was clear to me that that wasn't going to be happening. And so I did not continue dating them because that was not what I felt called to. So yes, we can sharpen iron and everything like that, but when it comes down to the fact that you are going to be committing, you know, potentially committing to spend your entire life with this person, I think that it's really important that that person is strong in their faith and mature in their faith as well. So for me, I wanted somebody who maybe was even a little bit more mature that way.
I think that one of the things that Pastor Mike said that I really loved was, like, you first need to be friends with them, because assuming really can make you look real dumb real fast. And if you build friendships, you can see what fruit they have. And I think that that's really important, is are you building authentic friendships, or are you only interested in having someone's affection? And I think that really helps you navigate that path well. So thank you guys so much for the input on that. Next question we had is, what do I do if I'm trying to level up, but I feel stagnant?
Tim?
Sister Stare. Yes, I have something to share. I don't know who was here for Mike's talk a couple weeks ago, but I think it speaks to this question where leveling up, I think, just means making yourself ready. Whether it's your relationship with the Lord to level up, you're making yourself ready to be the bride of Christ, or you're preparing yourself to be ready for somebody else to be joined to them. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing you can do is really just invest in your relationship with the Lord so that you are mature and you are ready for the right circumstance when it comes into place.
That's a great answer.
Mine is... going along with that, you can level up in what you are in control of now. It's good to dream and have vision and write those dreams down and those kind of things, because those things can guide your life. It's good to think about what you want in a relationship and who you're looking for. It's good for all of those things. You need to. But in my own life, It's good for me to level up in things that I think the Lord is talking to me about, and the things that are in front of me right now. So I'm not waiting for my ship to come in. I'm not waiting for my purpose, because now my purpose is a person, and that person is Jesus. Mm. So I'm not leveling. I'll level up when I'm not waiting around. I'm not being passive, although I'm waiting on the Lord. So I get to be level up in the things that I have control of now, me and the Lord.
And then maybe one question that you guys can answer, Mr. Kim, as you're answering this is, what is like a way to level up, like to be intentional in that?
Okay, so I kind of have a funny story that I wanted to share. And before I met Tim, I had actually made a commitment to not date anybody for 6 months while I worked on my relationship with the Lord. And back in those days, there was a book, and it was called Knight in Shining Armor. And it's where you take your 6 months, you focus on your relationship with the Lord, you're not dating. And I kid you not, as soon as I decided to do that, like I had friends that were just friends that were asking me out on dates, and like I'm just like, no. So then after the 6 months when Tim and I met, and I told him that I had been doing this, you know, 6 months of dating God sort of thing, he pretty much just thought that I was like a crazy cat lady and that maybe nobody wanted to date me or something, you know, but it was just kind of funny. So that for me was something that I did to level up, to work on my relationship, was I took all those distractions away because it was, you know, it was distracting from my relationship with the Lord, and I was able to focus on Him. And it was literally right after that is when I met Tim. So it was pretty cool. And I'm not saying that you're going to meet your person if you do that, but it, you know, can help you work on your own relationship. Do you have anything to add?
I think like the big theme that in that conversation was being intentional with the time, not just simply being stagnant. But just actually seeking the Lord for wisdom and how to make the most of the time, whether it's, and I think like the intentionality with 6 months is really great. Whatever that is for anyone out there, just be focused in a dedicated time to focus on the Lord and then watch what the Lord does with that. Now we have a little bit of an interesting question because I've seen so many upvotes. We're going to do it. Should women pursue men? Mr. Tim.
Why not? We all like to be pursued, right? In a spiritual
way. You better believe it. Why not? Here's something. Do you know that guys cannot read our minds?
Come on. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I thought they did. I just assumed that they did. No, before we were married. Thank you. So that was huge for me to recognize he didn't know what just needed to happen, what he would just know all of my needs. I didn't realize I actually needed to communicate that. If I was feeling like was lacking in something, then I can't expect him to fulfill something if I haven't explained to him what I want and why I want it. And understanding what each of our own love languages were. I mean, it's walking in a different way and pursue them.
So the way I understood that, the way I understood that statement and lived through it was.
What do you mean lived through it?
When we first met one another, she did have to give me, if you want to call this pursuing or not, she did have to give me some clues that I should continue, that I should pursue her. It's a two-way street. If she was cold, I would know, well, I'm done. But because she didn't string me along, that's not what I mean. But she responded to me in a way that I knew that I should keep going if I wanted to, if it appeared that she wanted me to. And then as we started dating, we did start communicating those kind of things. What she needed, what I needed, what she wanted, what I wanted, those kind of things. We would have those kind of conversations. And I think that's a sign of pursuing me instead of shutting down. She pursued me, I pursued her. But initially, I would say that her pursuit was, she gave me enough clues to keep going, all right? And she would respond in a healthy way so that I would keep going. And I learned how to pursue her. Like, I learned what her language was, her love language was. And so I wouldn't waste my time doing stuff that wasn't even in her language. I learned to pursue her in that way.
Pastor Mike.
As I said, you know, pursuit goes two ways. I'll just bring it back to scripture, you know, and not to put too fine a point on it, but ladies, sometimes you have not because you ask not. You know, and don't just sit there and always wait. You know, there's nothing wrong with putting yourself out there as well. And there's that risk of vulnerability. There's always that risk of rejection. A guy does it every time he has to ask out a woman. And you know what? It works both ways. And so I would simply say, yes, it is a two-way street.
Okay, I thought of something. I'd also say, I think we get this idea that the lady has to be this kind of submissive, passive person in this process. Mm-hmm. But I think if you study the woman of the Bible and the Proverbs 31 woman, they are not passive people. They are active. They are progressive, if you will. They pursue things. They have thoughts. They have ideas. And it is okay to pursue those things. And that's how you get things done.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think I love that, you know, just kind of bridging the gap between what is not being said and bringing communication. I think especially in our world today, we can all agree that we could all improve in our communication skills just a tad bit, myself included. My wife will definitely raise her hand, skyrocketed in the air. But being able to share and to be honest and not easily offended, I think if you go about this and you don't want to get hurt, you're going to always be disappointed because you don't know what you're expecting. But be honest and allow this to be a great teaching moment, a great opportunity, because you never know. Just like Pastor Mike said, you ask not because you receive not because you ask not.
I just thought of one more thing where Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And sometimes you don't know what your yes is until you're around a person, or you don't know what your no is until you're around a person. But I've tried to, especially with her, communicate that way. I'm not manipulative, not keep her guessing, none of those kind of things. She used to think it was romantic that I would just know what she was thinking. So then I was kind of unromantic because I hardly ever knew what she was thinking right off. But when we learned, even when we were dating, I need to let my yes be yes, my no be no. And I can't get offended when she honestly says no or she honestly says yes. We have that platform. So we don't have to mess around with the games. Do you see?
Very good. Thank you. We have another great question, and it's, how important is physical attraction if they are a godly person?
Ooh. We're calling.
Maybe we better pass it.
No. Now, obviously, when I saw Melody playing ping pong, I didn't know whether she was godly or not. But I do know what she looked like. I do know. Well, I won't go there. I saw. I liked what I saw, and I thought, I should pursue that.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah, maybe I should move it on.
Praise God.
But then.
Why are you turning red?
But then, if after being attracted to her, she was dumb as a mud fence, or we just didn't get along, or whatever, then I'm out. But
out of the relationship.
Yeah, out of the relationship. Anyway, I better pass the mic. Yeah.
Oh, communication's key. Communication.
I'll just start by saying we didn't have a traditional dating relationship. So if you guys are too young to remember back, there was a day where you could meet somebody online and not know what they look like. So we had in-depth conversations about God in a chat room, a Christian chat room, before we knew what each other looked like. So I think...
It
wasn't romantic whatsoever. It was just kind of building a friendship. Mm-hmm. And then when we did first meet, Kim would like to tell you a story about that.
I'm sorry, I'm going to laugh too hard. So when we first met in person, mind you, we'd been talking to each other for several months, kind of like pen pals, you know, just writing back and forth. And it was not like romantic at all. We were just friends. He had invited me to hang out with some of his friends from college, and it was actually in Minneapolis. I was from California. And so I was flying into MSP, and back then they could come to the gate and wait for you. We didn't have the same TSA rules. And so I got off of the plane, and I'm looking around the waiting area there where all the seats are, and I don't see him. Yeah, you guys, he was waiting off to the side to see what I look like.
Wow.
It wasn't like that.
He was waiting. And a different lady got off the plane before, and he got a little scared. But
mind you, we'd only seen like black and white pictures of each other, believe it or not.
Yeah.
There was color back then. But,
but yes.
You couldn't just have a FaceTime conversation.
Right. So... he was waiting to check me out first. Mm.
Well, I will say, when my husband met me, he thought it would be illegal to like me because he thought I looked like I was 13.
She did.
Physical attraction, I don't know that was the first thing.
No, it wasn't.
But I will say, beauty fades. I mean, I think, you know, attraction's going to be there. It's kind of natural, but always remember that beauty fades and character stays. Yeah. So that I would prioritize over anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it. Okay.
The Redeemer is about to speak.
Okay, here we go. Tyler, you ready for this? This is nothing new to him, but for me, the first time I saw him, he was the single youth pastor. So you would assume he knew more spiritually than me. Okay. So I felt God tapping my shoulder, saying, that is the guy you're going to marry. And let's just say my first words and thought were, oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. But, yeah, thank God for character. Yeah, good. But now.
explain it a little.
Oh, what do you want me to explain? Oh. What he was wary that day when the first time I saw him was not exactly what I would call.
You're all out for this.
Oh.
Yeah, move on to the next question, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Praise God. Great questions, guys. we're going to go to the next one. Though I will say the whole not knowing what the other person looks like with Snapchat filters, I'm almost confident to say that it's about the same these days. Just saying. Catfishing is real. So the next one, which is a really great question, as a couple, how do you flee from sexual temptation and not push boundaries? I would say not married. Not married.
Okay. So for me, I run some things through my head a lot, and one of them is what I appreciate gains in value, what I depreciate loses in value. So coming to the married part of this, so I spent a lot of time out my mouth, in my head, appreciating her, to me, because I know what I appreciate gains in value, and what I depreciate loses in value. So I spend an inordinate amount of time in my heart, in my mind, out my mouth, appreciating her. So it helps me if I have her on this kind of pedestal, if you will, then it's easier for me not to put someone else there in any kind of way. And yet, therefore, I can respond in a healthy way to whoever I'm talking to whoever is in front of me, because that piece helps me for sure. And then we all know what to do when we're tempted. You avoid the temptation. You bounce your eyes. You fill yourself up with godly thoughts. You fill yourself up with the power of a pure relationship. You fill yourself up because you can't resist if you're just empty. Mm-hmm. So again, you fill yourself up with what God says. You resist, and what you resist grows weaker, and what you submit to grows stronger. That's another thing I say to myself. Mm-hmm. Do I want this to, if I submit to this, do I want it to grow stronger? Because it will. If I resist it, it will grow weaker. Do I want it to grow weaker? And that helps me too.
Pastor Tyler's right. I think you have to rely on the Holy Spirit, because our self-control only goes so far sometimes. So you really have to rely on the Holy Spirit for that strength. I'd also say, practically speaking, at work we have a saying that every system is designed for the outcome it receives. So if you are setting yourself up to be alone together a lot, or in compromising situations a lot, you're probably going to get some outcomes that you weren't hoping for. So it takes some intentionality to make sure that you're hanging out in groups and in public spaces and not setting yourself up for failure. Because if you think I'm going to be alone on movie night a million times and be okay, it's likely not going to be okay.
I guess kind of to add to this, and maybe Sister Heidi, if you want to chime in more, I think a better way probably to word this question is, what are appropriate boundaries while dating and engage, and are they different?
No.
Ooh. Okay, you heard it from them.
No, they are not different. Until you stand before God and that person that you are making covenant with, you aren't married. It doesn't matter if you put an engagement ring on that finger or not, you're not married. And so you have to always keep that in mind. And I'm going to be honest, I've seen this in 26 years of pastoral ministry way, way too often, where people start out well, but then the closer they get to the wedding day, the easier it becomes to compromise. And so many times, you know, people held on during dating, but then they got engaged and they figured, well, engagement's the same thing as marriage. No, it's not. It is not. If you only knew how many engaged couples I've counseled that aren't married, They didn't wind up married. And yet, they wound up in compromising and sinful positions, all because they bought into a lie that said, well, we're married in our heart. I put a ring on it, you know, it doesn't matter until you stand before the Lord and you make that covenant and you sign that piece of paper so that with God and man you are declaring, I have entered into a lifelong covenant with this person and no one else. Then and only then is any sort of sexual activity blessed in God's eyes. And so it's something that, it's a hardline stance, but it really is something that God intended for a purpose. And when we start looking for loopholes, we wind up falling into potholes. Okay? And so it's just one of those things that we need to be mindful of.
Do we get enough from that? I'll say from a practical standpoint, you need to talk about it. You need to set boundaries with each other and have the discussion. And I think that was important for us to be able to say, this is how you're going to be treated. This is how I expect to be treated. And if somebody doesn't respect that, you're not in a healthy relationship. I think it's good to remember, I'm dating God's daughter. She's dating God's son. And how you treat them is very important. Mm. And then from another practical standpoint, we always had people around us. Even if we traveled, we had a chaperone. We called it a chaperone, and we were in our 20s because we set ourselves up for success and to respect the boundaries that we discussed. So talk about it, set those boundaries, and hold each other to that standard, because if you aren't, you aren't in a healthy relationship.
Yes. Pastor Jeremiah's schedule is pretty flexible.
Yes. We didn't have a chaperone for like dating, dinner, that kind of stuff. We weren't like that.
Thank the Lord.
Anywhere we did, you know, we were in our 20s and, you know, we were at the age where all of our friends were getting married and weddings were all over the country and traveling to different places. And so his sister, who is actually the same age as me, we were buddies and she and I would room together and he would room with, you know, his best friend. So we always had things in place. But one thing that was just on my heart, and I'm looking for the ladies in here, catching all of your eyes, is if he respects you in this way during your dating relationship, he is going to respect you in so many other ways during your marriage and your married life. If he's not respecting you in this way, or it also goes that if you're not respecting him, it's not just a one-way thing, but I want you to know that there are men out there that will respect you this way. And that will translate to how he treats you when you're married as well. And I've seen that with other friends that their marriages did not work out and that amount of respect was not there in their dating relationship. And so it will translate to your marriage. Is my opinion.
I guess with that, like one of the things is just kind of give a little bit more, I guess I would, how I would say it is more clarity, but also some practical stances. Would you guys say it is appropriate in a dating or engaged setting to like, how far is physical contact? Is cuddling acceptable? Like what, because those are the things that I find that people have never heard anyone talk about. And how would you guys say, because once that boundary is crossed, and a lot of times a lot of these things that we're talking about from a sexual temptation are done in private, what are things that you could be, we could be confident in like holding, that's not being like, I'm too prude or this is like, I'm completely an extreme, but this is a way that I'm showing honor to God.
I'm not gonna sit here and tell you, well, this is okay, but this isn't okay. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you how far is too far. I'm just simply gonna tell you this, that there's something called the law of diminishing returns. In other words, it's like walking up to the edge of this stage. If I was standing on the edge of a cliff and the first time I come up to it, I might come to within 10 feet. But, and it's kind of scary, but then it's kind of exciting. Well, once I come and I stand within 10 feet, it's easier to go to 5 feet. And then once I've been at 5 feet, then it's no longer as exciting at 5 feet. And so then I'm looking to get to within 1 foot of the edge. And it's that way with everything that we do in life. And that's where you have to use godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If you're born again, the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you. Mm-hmm. You have the Holy Spirit. And if you're doing what the Scripture says, and you're actually in a relationship equally yoked, in other words, with somebody else that is truly born again, well, they have the Spirit of the living God inside of them. And together, man, one, you need to be respecting the Spirit of the living God. And two, you need to be realizing that that Holy Spirit that He put within you is, Jesus said He is the Comforter, but He is also the Guide, and He is the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And despite how good your flesh might feel in that moment, if you're willing to be honest, the Spirit of God inside of you is crying out, screaming to stop. You're going too far. Mm-hmm. And if we, Scripture says, if we'll be willing to actually just walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, we won't fall victim to just simply doing what the flesh wants to do. We all have a flesh nature. We all have a sexual drive, but we were never created and designed by God to be ruled by that flesh nature or by that sexual drive. And so I always simply say, you just got to walk out any relationship actually in the Spirit and just keep that boundary in mind and communicate with the other person and look at the Scripture. Scripture will tell you how to conduct yourselves. Flee youthful lusts, Paul told Timothy. Flee sexual immorality. Don't put yourself in a situation where lust is on the rise. Don't put yourself in a situation where sexual immorality is an easy thing to just step into. Avoid these things. Scripture says by fleeing these things. So don't even put yourself in those awkward situations. So rather than tell you, well, holding hands is fine, cuddling's fine, well, groping's as long as it's above the clothes. No, I'm not going to sit here and tell you any of that because I don't need to. If you're willing to walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will tell you. No. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you for that.
One thing that was helpful when we were dating and then became engaged was also the advice of not having a super long engagement, because I think that that is a big struggle for people after they do get engaged. So for us, we were engaged for 6 months, and that was the soonest that we could possibly get married. We probably would have done that, even sooner if it would have worked out in our schedule. But I think that these 2 year, 3 year engagements can also make it a lot more difficult.
I think I shared this with you the night that I was with you a couple weeks ago. If I did, forgive me. If I didn't, it still bears repeating one way or another. God's honest truth is, as you're dating somebody, if you commit to leaving sex out of the equation, you will know very quickly whether or not you can truly envision a future with that person. And I can't stress that enough. If you'll just simply take that off the table completely, you'll know whether or not this is a person that I'm compatible with. This is a person that I could foresee a lifelong relationship with. And so within that, why taint things? Why muddy the waters? Because that not just sex, but that physical activity is a great blinder to reality. Mm. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And so I would just highly encourage, you know, if you're serious about wanting to know whether a person is worth pursuing or being in a relationship with, completely leave the physical out of it, and you will know very quickly.
Yeah, really good advice right there. Then in talking with, like, having your partner, do you guys believe in soulmates? If you believe in soulmates, do you think you've met yours?
I think this might sound unromantic, but I think honestly soulmates is something you grow into. I don't know that it's necessarily something that just two star-crossed people found each other in the midst of this. No. I truly believe that you become soulmates. Over time, over experience, over hard times that you persevere through together, through good times and victories that you experience together. That's actually what, man, knits and ties you and binds you together and creates, I guess, what you would call that soul tie connection.
Yeah, I would add, because I think I saw one of the questions too, is did you marry your best friend? I think it's along the same lines. Like, no, I did not marry my best friend. In fact, we took a little while to really get used to each other. We both were like, you're always here. Why? No, I think we've become best friends or soulmates or whatever you want to call it. And I love that because I still will sit back and go, wow, this guy really would do anything for me. Like, I can still have those moments where I'm delighted. Like, you know, there's still that, like, feeling of, you know, kind of that honeymoon phase that some people say goes away. But I get these, I wouldn't say it's like this all the time feeling, but you get these little bursts like, this person has been with me through my ugliest and still just would lay down their life for me. And that's a great feeling.
Sorry, did I go first? Okay. No, that's fine. We'll give it to you last. No. You'll bring it home. As far as soulmates, I don't know that we had ever, well, I'll speak for myself, had, you know, any starry kind of in my eyes of, oh, he's my soulmate. But I do know that 100% that he's the man that I prayed for. And I had, you know, prayed, okay, this is what I tell all my, we have young adult children. I had a list of all the qualities that I wanted in a husband. My list was front and back of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Wow. Front, not like wide, but front, like numbered. There are 25 lines on the front. There are 25 lines on the back. And I had 50 different kinds of qualities, you know, that I kept that in the back of my wallet from the time that I was 18 years old and had it there. And it was something that I created that list with my best friend. She made one as well. And we were not allowed to change our lists without the other one present because we were not going to cater or tailor it just to whoever we were dating. So do you need 50 things on your list? No, that was just something that I had. But these were things that if I was dating somebody, I could look at and tangibly, like, okay, does he have these things? He had all 50 of those things. Now, I wasn't like, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Great job, Mr. Tim.
Thank you. He's the prize. But anyhow, but even if you don't have 50 things, I think it's really good to sit down and, you know, write those things. And this was not just like I'm pulling things out of the air for this list. These were things that I knew God had put on my heart, you know, kind, compassionate, you know, giving, you know, all these different qualities and characteristics. It wasn't like, rich and all these kinds of things. I mean, that's helpful, you know, money's helpful too, but, you know, it wasn't that kind of stuff. These were deep core characteristics. So anyways, I believe he's the one I prayed for.
Pastor Tyler? Okay, you sure? All right.
Oh, can I say one real quick thing? I had a list too, Kim. That's right. I wasn't the full front and back, but close. And part of the reason that's important too is I work at Mayo, where we tell people, like, if you're going into the doctor's office, write down your questions beforehand, because you'll get in there and you'll forget everything that you meant to ask. Or, you know, sometimes when you get in a relationship, you just can get some blinders on that you're like, they're great in this moment, but have you considered all these other things yet? These are your values, these are what you want to hold true to. So just a little addition to the list idea.
Well, for me, I think I told you that I didn't date a lot until college. And then I didn't even really date a lot in college, but the girls that I did date, as we went along, it became more and more difficult, either for me or them. Where Melody, it became more and more, I won't say easy, but it became more and more life-giving. Mm. It became more and more where I wanted to love her. I chose to love her. And in that series of events, those series of just doing life together and those kind of things, did she become my soulmate? I didn't qualify it as that, but I wanted to love her. I chose to love her. And that was the first time ever that it worked out. So again, you can call that a soulmate because it ended with me choosing to love her. Mm-hmm. And I still choose to love her. Mm. I want to love her.
Yeah.
And 90% of the time, she wants to love me. But anyway, I can't win.
All right. You know, I think something that I hope everyone heard from that answer is something that was kind of synonymous throughout, was the fact that the label soulmate was not something that was immediately placed on each person. It was something discovered in the relationship. And I think if you quickly attach that verbiage onto someone, you'll easily be disappointed in that person. So it's really important to just let, like, your values and stuff really set you in a place so that as you grow in a relationship, you're willing to fight and pursue that person because you have grown so fond and that becomes a part of your soul like that.
I think one of the things that helped me too was I like to read, and so I was reading, and one of the statements that this man said was marriage, and we can apply it to dating, marriage is designed to make you holy, not happy. Mm. Its primary design is not to make you happy, it's to make you holy. Now, am I happy? Yes. Was I happy with her while we were dating? Of course I was. And I understood that this kind of relationship was designed to make me holy. And when we got married, I thought I was a pretty nice guy. And then I realized, I'm kind of selfish. I like things my way. So if you can keep that in mind, it's designed to make you holy and then happy. And soulmate means to me, we're trying to be happy all the time. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm, that's a really good reminder, Pastor Tyler. This would also be really great because as all of you guys have wonderful years of experience, what's something you do every day in your marriage that leveled you up as a couple?
Every day?
Yeah.
It's not overly spiritual, but, you know, Heidi can tell you, our kids can tell you. My wife and I, man, we don't take ourselves or each other too seriously. We enjoy each other. We have fun. We laugh at ourselves. And I think it's important that, you know, because life isn't always easy and things don't always go good. But you have to create an atmosphere within a relationship where you can just laugh together. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I can say we do every day in some way, shape, or form, is we laugh together. And we just enjoy each other's company. And that simple act of interacting in a humorous way, Scripture says a merry heart does good like medicine. And there's something about that actually... it heals a relationship. It continues to strengthen a relationship. And so that's something I can say we do, practically speaking, on a daily basis.
I'd say on the flip side of that, too, is we're really good at that. We had to learn and be really intentional about learning how to have harder conversations. You know, for a while, we just weren't really good about talking about money because we both were raised very differently with it. So we would avoid the conversation, which I'm sure you know made everything better. that was one of the things. We also just went to some marriage classes that taught us how to communicate better and kind of signal, like Mel said, you can't read each other's minds, but have real crucial conversations, but in a kind way, where it's a safe space for both people to bring what they have to say to the table, but then sort through it in a very mature way and a loving way that's choosing to try to understand the other person versus win the argument and work towards a right resolution that way.
I'd say one thing we do every day, it's more of a general sentiment, and it's good advice I got way back when. Every day in marriage, you're either growing together or growing apart. And it may not look the same every day, but being intentional about growing together, because the default is apart. So if you don't do anything that day, you're growing apart. But you need to have more days growing together than you do apart. So it may look different every day. It may be just a conversation. It may be just something you do together, laughing together, whatever. But you're either growing together or you're growing apart. So be intentional about it.
I think one thing, in my short 5 years about to hit, in a couple weeks, one thing that my wife and I do every day is she grew up quoting Psalms 91. And that was just something that she always loved. So when I got married to her, I decided I would memorize Psalms 91. We quote that every day and we sing a song together before we start every day. And we close off with a worship session. Anyone who comes to my house, they'll probably randomly hear. I know Joe heard me one night just randomly and he complimented me on my singing with my wife. But honestly, it's just those... it's those memories that you get that that stabilize you, because like Sister Heidi's shared, like it's not easy. There's gonna be so many things that are going to try to pull you apart. You have to find ways to build connection and find your root source every day. Otherwise, you can easily find yourself in arguments, frustrated, angry, and disappointed in a person. So. Definitely. Thank you guys for that. The last question for the night. I know it's like gone late and I just want to address this because I saw there was a question asked, hey, how do we keep in contact with these individuals? Ask the church secretary, they'll schedule an appointment with you guys on there. But these are incredible. I know all of them serve God and have been faithful. Honestly, it is so important. I can't stress to you enough to not rely on your own wisdom, not even rely on listening to a podcast. Build a connection with someone and talk about your relationship. I myself, my wife and I have gone to Pastor Mike and Sister Heidi about issues with us because I'm telling you, there's wisdom when you seek counsel from godly people. Do not try to do these relationships by yourself. Try to be, bring your other partner with you because I'm telling you, you cannot build your relationship to success the way God wants you. It's a group effort. So I would encourage you to like seek godly counsel. If you want to talk to them, talk to the secretary. We have the church number. We can get that all situated, but they are phenomenal people. Have you guys been blessed tonight already by them? The last question, because I felt like it's a really great question because we've talked a lot about relationships and everything, but for those who are single, there's a question here. It says, what emotional boundaries are important in friendship with the opposite gender? Oh, Pastor Tyler, this is your time to shine right now.
She's got something to say.
I don't know what's about to come out of my mouth, but so from friendships and relationship with the opposite gender, it was important to me that I lived my life and, you know, even from the time when we were dating, engaged, married, that I lived my life above reproach, meaning I didn't ever want my husband to question my integrity or my intentions. I did not maintain like close friendships with single guys or, you know, friends or anybody that I dated from the past. Like that was not something, I did not continue any communication or anything like that. I didn't want my husband to ever have a reason to question that. And also, I think that that gives you an area of default of getting something emotionally that you should be getting from your spouse. Mm. And I never wanted to fall into a trap that way. And so that was a boundary that I put on myself. That was not something that my husband put on me. That was something that I chose for myself. And I didn't ever want to have that temptation of even seeking an emotional fulfillment from somebody who wasn't my husband.
Pastor T? I know you have an answer for this one.
So I think I told you, you know, I didn't get married till I was 27. And in my circles, that was pretty old. But I didn't get married till I was 27. Didn't meet Melody till I was 26. So got saved when I was 18. And again, I've always had a really strong women in my life. My mother, my grandmother, had a single youth pastor who discipled me, female youth pastor who discipled me and others. So I've always had a great appreciation for women, for sure. And that appreciation made it easy for me just to be friends. So in order not to manipulate that, I would say I just want to be friends. I just want to hang out some. If we want to do it as a group, that's great. But I recognized that I wanted the feminine in my life. I wanted people, the girls in my life that were my age. Now, again, that's a little more complicated than hanging out with the bros, right? But it's doable. You just have to be honest. And if they get hurt about, oh, he doesn't want to date me, well, out you go. I mean, I don't mean to sound rude, but anyway, that gave me a platform where we could just be together and have some fun.
Wasn't dating them, wasn't trying to court them, just I wanted to be with them. So I did. And anyway.
I think this kind of goes back to actually the first question, like first or second question when we're talking about being pursued and having clear communication on what's happening. Mm-hmm. Because even if a guy says that they're friends, if a girl feels emotionally connected, like Sasha Kim was talking about, like, hey, you got to protect yourself. Really be clear in that, because friendships, like, I know, like, Pastor Tyler mentioned, like, hey, your friend, sometimes we live in a day and age where sometimes that verbiage is used not honestly. And it's used in a place where they're just trying to get with you and pursue. And it was just for just to get your phone number and stuff. I recognize that. But if someone is just being a friend and you're building an emotional attachment and it's too difficult for you, be honest and say, hey, this is too much. Because you're not going to protect yourself by keeping something that's drawing you back into temptation. Like we talked about, Pastor Mike was sharing. Don't step over close to the edge and then complain about falling when you had so many opportunities. Be honest with yourself, transparent on there, and I think that it'll go great for you guys. We have, well, I know it's running late, but I wanted to make sure for each couple, we can start off with Pastor Tyler and Sister Melody. If you guys could give us what is a piece of wisdom you would like to impart to the young adult community tonight.
I think it's very important that you don't always see whether or not you're compatible. It's very easy when in a relationship, especially when you're dating, to overlook what you don't want to be a big thing. And I think sometimes we overlook things, and those things that we have overlooked while dating become the one things that really irritate us once you get married. When we don't face the reality of something, it's going to come back to bite us. So what I end up doing, we talk about lists. I actually wrote down everything that I loved about Tyler while we were dating. And then I had on the other side of it, I wrote down things that I didn't like, or maybe somebody had questioned or brought to my attention, or other things. And here's the deal. When before he even proposed to me, I looked at that list. And I even looked at the things, the great qualities and everything, but I also looked at the things that people pointed out that are a concern or things that I saw. And here's the thing. I had to recognize and pay attention to it and say, are those things, could I live with them? If nothing changes on that side that I don't like, can I live with it and still enjoy it? If my answer was yes, because we can't change them. Mm-hmm. We have to go in there with the intention of what eyes wide open. And when I said that in my mind, again, it was my will saying, you know what, I agreed to this before we got married, and I'm going to work with this and come together in this. And that has been huge, because so many times we go into relationships thinking that we're going to fix something, or something, somebody says something, we turn a blind eye to it, and we're not aware of it, or we say, oh, well, I never knew that. Yeah, we are. And so I think we coming to do that, I came in with my eyes wide open, and it has been a growing on both of us the whole time. But we love each other more.
I'm not sure she liked me for the first year. But anyway, no, mine is a little different, maybe. I love being around her. I'm a people person. I love the ministry. I love doing this. But tonight, after we're done, guess what I want to do? I want to go down the basement. I want to make some popcorn. I'm already kind of thinking about it, actually. I want to make some popcorn. I want to go down the basement, turn on the football game. I probably won't want to talk about, well, how'd you think that went? I probably won't. She can stay upstairs for all I care. I want to go downstairs and be by myself. Now, is that bad? Now, we probably will talk about it and we probably will communicate, but eventually I'll end up downstairs and she'll stay upstairs. And that will be wonderful. So what I'm trying to say to you is, we had to learn when I needed to be by myself, it wasn't because I was tired of her. I just needed to be by myself. I needed to decompress. I needed to do something that I enjoyed. And every once in a while, she'll even say to me, "You can go downstairs if you'd like." and I don't usually go, "Oh, I'm so hurt. How come we can't?" I say to myself, "Thank God." And so anyway, my bit of wisdom is, we had to learn how to be by ourselves while we were together.
I don't know how one follows that. Let me look at the question. Give me the question again.
What's one piece of advice you'd give to young adult community?
To young adults, like mostly single?
Yeah, kind of you can do that too. Yeah.
Gosh. I'm trying to think. It's been a minute since I've been single. I think just, I'm not to take my husband's message from a few weeks ago again, but I think that's really the best advice I can give you, is to be prepared. And whether it's taking care of yourself spiritually, physically, mentally, like just getting yourself in the best position possible, because like Ty was talking about earlier, like love is blind, but marriage is an eye opener. Yeah. Mm. It sounds wonderful, but it is. But it's also a lot of work, because it shows you some areas in your life that you're like, oh, I thought I was this super giving person, and I apparently want things done my way all the time. So God works on that. And then you get to a good spot in your marriage, and God's like, there's more of you that needs to get worked on, and then you have kids. So the more prepared you are, the better off you're going to be positioned to enter into a commitment like that.
Yeah. Just go back and listen to 2 weeks ago. Honestly, that message I gave was, it's a father's heart to young people. And there's not much more I can add to that, you know? And so, yeah.
I think for young single folks, the best advice, or kind of how it worked in my life, is pursue God, don't pursue relationships with the opposite mm-hmm. sex. And I think we've already touched on this here, and Sister Heidi was just saying kind of the same thing. Until you're spiritually mature and have a good relationship with God, you're not going to be ready for a mature relationship. So I think that happened for both of us. Like she said, she dated God for 6 months, and I think I came to a point in my life where I was like, I'm good being single, I'm good serving God and focusing on that. And then when you least expect it, God gives you the desires of your heart.
For me, I think the biggest piece of advice would be to follow the Holy Spirit's leading and to listen to, you know, how you're led in a relationship. And I'm thinking, like, for those who are dating, if you are dating somebody and you're feeling that nagging of the Holy Spirit saying this isn't the right person for you, don't ignore that. That is important, you know, heeding that is just, it's so important. And you may never even know why, you know, I don't know why I feel this way. Maybe it's just something is just not quite right, and you know, and you feel like it's the Holy Spirit telling you that. Listen to that, because it's better to listen to that than to have regrets later and from not listening to it. The other part of this is always, you know, just putting the Lord first. If you are putting somebody above the Lord, you know, we serve a jealous God. Let's get rid of that person, you know, because we should be serving Him and not putting who we're dating before that. So
yeah.
Listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Would you guys give him a round of applause? I think it was just a great opportunity to hear from them. All this stuff is going to be recorded. My thing for you guys is, yeah, those are going to hear great. So one of the things I'll just say for you guys, for those who are single, those who are pursuing marriage, something that Pastor Tyler mentioned, marriage makes you holy. If you are not already becoming more holy in your life and letting the Holy Spirit refine you, getting married will be a huge train wreck. And I say that with love because sometimes you don't realize how much the Lord wants to change in your life, and you truly will never be ready for it. Truly never will. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to start that refining process in you now, instead of waiting for a relationship to change you, I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot more exciting because it will be walking with someone who's also championing the Lord. And then you get to watch God as a testament to this panel. All these couples are doing amazing things for the Lord in their field of interest, wherever God's using them. Mighty things they're doing for the Lord. And I just want to say, because they were faithful and they pursued God and they gave this advice from a place of words testifying to the fruit that they've bared. So let us utilize that and grow to be a young adult community that really champions what it is to level up in the season of life. Give me a round of applause one more time for them. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. My prayer is that this conversation from people who've experienced life and seen God's faithfulness in their marriages empowers you to level up, whether you're single or in a relationship or wanting to pursue a relationship, to level up and thrive in the season God's called you in. May God bless you.